From the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life." In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. This is a night in which boundaries have no place. Tonight, we meet together to hear, to sing, to pray. And throughout those readings and hymns and prayers, as if it were a golden thread woven into our liturgical service tonight, we acknowledge over and over that at the heart of our religion, at the heart of everything that we hold to be true and near and good, is this simple fact. Boundaries are an illusion. The God we worship, the company of people who live in relationship with that God, indeed the entirety of the creation lovingly brought into existence by that God, all of it is not only made up of the tiny microscopic bit that we can see and feel and hear and know. This night, almost above all other nights of the year, we confess that we know, that we have come to believe, that things are not what they appear. To our tiny eyes, to our tiny ears, and yes, even to our tiny minds. We have come to know and acknowledge that the world and all that is in it is bigger than we can see and hear and experience. And we say it every Sunday. The created order includes both the visible and the invisible. And all of it, at the end of the day, indeed at the end of this day, is not limited by the trifling boundaries that seem to us to be so solid and insurmountable. This is a night in which boundaries have no place. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has passed from death to life." Tonight's texts, readings, hymns, and prayers tell us over and over that our notions of time are only imagined, and they keep us enslaved to our clicking clocks and our creeping calendars. God, who was and is to come, he lives and reigns forever and ever, one God in glory everlasting, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. The world shall exalt God forevermore. In such a realm, in such a relationship as we have, eternity is the standard. Eternity is the default. And time, concepts of then and now and tomorrow, time is merely a false tyrant that temporarily and feebly governs our lives. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has passed from death to life." Tonight's texts, readings, hymns, prayers tell us over and over that our notions of space are not solid and that they keep us bound to the incredibly small worlds of our own making. God will take away disgrace from all the earth. The earth is the Lord's and everything that is in it. World without end, from myriad worlds unknown. In such a realm, in such a relationship as we have, everywhere, every place is the standard, is the default, and concepts like here or there are merely false illusions that keep us from looking up and seeing the whole. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has passed from death to life." Tonight's texts, readings, hymns, prayers tell us over and over that our notions of differences among people are a sham. They're a silly farce. God, who loved us all, the Lord of hosts, will make a rich feast for all people. Though long our mortal blindness has missed God's loving kindness, Almighty God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and fellowship to us and to all whom you have made. In such a realm, in such a relationship as we have, all, everyone is the standard, the default, and any category like race or class or orientation or gender or age or health or wholeness or nationality or religion or any of a multitude of the other silly little boxes that we construct to divide us are merely crude, inept delusions that keep us isolated and proud and eventually lonely. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has passed from death to life." And perhaps most importantly, tonight's texts, readings, hymns, prayers tell us over and over that our notions of death have fallen. In fact, they have always fallen before a truer and a deeper reality. He will swallow up death forever. Lord God, whose Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, triumphed over the powers of death, he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. And what we'll sing in just a few minutes, death's fair night shall discover the fields of everlasting life. In such a realm, in such a relationship as we have, brothers and sisters, life does not end. The fearful dread and tyranny of death is not the end of the story. Pain and suffering and fear, yes, these are real, but they are not the standard. They are not the foundation. They are not the last stop, but rather life is. A life for all time, in all places, for all people. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has passed from death to life." And we know this is true, not because we read it in some book or hear it in some anthem or sing it in some hymn. We know all of this is true because we have experienced it, not only in the traditions that have been handed down from the past, but we have come to know and to believe it in the relationships that we have with one another. This morning, we celebrated the Feast of All Saints, those people throughout history who have especially inspired or provoked or cajoled or persuaded us through their words and through their lives that all our pretenses and all our boundaries are thin, frail realities that constantly give way to the overpowering reality of God. The saints, the martyrs, the doctors, the holy men and women throughout history have led us and sometimes have pushed us into that deeper, richer actuality. But tonight, in this eve of the Feast of All Souls, we acknowledge something further, something even deeper, and it is this, that we have, more often than not, come to know this deeper reality, not because of the big names in our tradition, but rather we have been led to our relationship with God because of the people who have known us and who know us in our seemingly separate, time-bound lives. Tonight, we acknowledge that the communion of saints, that vast company of people who have lived and continue to live and will live in relationship with God, isn't just comprised of those who were holy, those who, in the words of the children's hymn, were patient and brave and true. But rather, that communion is also made up of people who were impatient sometimes, or scared sometimes, are not so true sometimes as well. In short, the communion of saints is also made up of people that I know, and people who have known me, and people like you, and people like me. They too, we too have a part. And we tonight acknowledge that the boundary, in fact, between holy saints and ordinary folk is also, ultimately, an illusion as well. All are one in thee, for all are thine, the hymn says. All are one in thee, for all are thine. Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has passed from death to life." You see, a saint isn't somebody who's famous or who is holy. A saint is someone who, when I look into her eyes, I realize that time and eternity are identical, that forever begins right now. Those saintly eyes reveal to me that now and then are both the same thing. A saint is someone who walks into my incredibly small and focused world and puts his bent finger under my chin and forces me to look up, forces me to see that the world is incredibly huge and wide and complex and beautiful, and that it is one and it is whole and it is good. That saintly finger under my chin reveals to me that there is no here or there, but rather that they are both the same thing. A saint is someone who walks into my exclusive, segregated, delineated world and in fact covers my eyes so that I can no longer see other people only in terms of what color they are or where they come from or their gender or orientation or health or beauty or wealth or religion or in fact anything else at all, except for the fact that they are people created in the image of God and that they are creatures who know hunger and fear and joy, and pain, and delight, and hope. Those saintly hands over my eyes, in fact, reveal that we are all, essentially the same, because we all of us, belong to God. And perhaps most importantly, a saint is someone who walks beside me, even though they're no longer here, and assures me, and cajoles me, and prods me, and warns me, and comforts me that my life is not limited to this blip on the timeline of eternity, that what I do and how I live and what I believe and whom I care for, all of those things have ramifications and consequences far, far, far beyond the time that I am in this world. In fact, all those things may ultimately have consequences for all time and for all space and for all people, because, in fact, this blip is just the beginning. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has passed from death to life." There is a well-known hymn that's often sung for this feast, "For All the Saints," number 287 in the hymnal. We sang it this morning. The first few words go like this: "For all the saints who from their labors rest. For all the saints who from their labors rest." Rest. Rest. I love that hymn. And my wife does too. But for me, at least tonight, this doesn't quite seem right. Whatever the saints are about, it isn't about resting. It certainly isn't about resting wherever they are, and I believe they aren't resting now. Because if there is no real difference between then and now, and there is no real difference between here and there, and if there is no real difference between me and you and them and us, and if the power of death has been swallowed up in the gullet of life, then the saints, both the famous ones as well as the common ones, all of them, continue to work and labor and do what they have always done. They continue to show us the nature of eternity. They raise our eyes to see there, and not just here. They blind us to the silly divisions that we create between ourselves. In short, they do what they have always done. They pray for us. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has passed from death to life." In the gospel reading for this evening, you'll notice that over and over, Jesus is the one who forces us to see that our life is already eternal, that death has already been conquered, that in short, there is no longer here or there or then or now or us or them. Anyone who hears his word has already passed over from death to life. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has passed from death to life." What is that word that he speaks? I don't mean necessarily a word that he spoke in Galilee a couple of millennia ago. In the Gospel of John, you see, Jesus just doesn't speak a word. He is the word. And that word, unlike our transitory, temporary words, our readings, our hymns, our prayers, or especially our silly sermons, rather, that word was from the beginning and was the source and, in fact, is the source of everything that is. So I'll ask it again. What is that word that he speaks, that he is so a part of that he defines it? He gave us a clue on that cold, damp night before he was handed over to suffering and death. He looked at us, and he told us. In fact, he tells us, "Here's my command, my word for you all. Love one another." We tonight stand and acknowledge that at the heart of our religion, at the heart of everything that we hold to be good and right and true, is this simple fact. It is love which tears down the wall between then and now. It is love which tears down the wall between here and there. It is love that tears down the wall between you and me and us and them. It is love, which is the only thing that is able to destroy, and in fact has already destroyed, death itself. Because, brothers and sisters, love is the one thing, the only thing, that transcends time and space and division and even death. That's what saints do, both those who are famous and those who are known to only one or two or maybe a handful of us. That's what they do for us all the time, every day, and especially tonight. They tell us that those boundaries that are the root cause of our fear and anxiety and paralyzing terror are actually nothing. Nothing to be afraid of. They tell us to stand up and to walk forward. In short, they pray for us. They pray that we can see clearly, that we can understand, that we have the unshakable knowledge that here and now and me and us and even death itself is nothing more substantial than a thin, limp, fluttering curtain. In just a few moments, we as a body will walk from here, this place, into the garden, and we will there remember before God the names of those saints among us who have passed on, and we will pray for them. We'll do so because we honor them, because we continue to see in their witness that this blip of our lives is not the end, and we will do so, in short, because we love them. And I can assure you, although we can't see it or hear it or experience it, although it appears to our weak, faulty eyes that we are merely standing around in a damp, cool garden, I can assure you, brothers and sisters, that they are doing the same for us. Amen.